Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Call to Help the Poor and Needy by Patricia Said Adams focuses on the more than 2,000 verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible that direct us to help the poor and needy, on what God says about this major theme in the Bible, and how we might more thoroughly live these commands from God. Patricia is a spiritual director, a supervisor of spiritual directors, a blogger about life lived in Christ, and the author of three other books, A Guide to the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Thy Kingdom Come, and Exodus, Our Story 2, From Slavery to the World to the Kingdom of God. She writes through the lens of a spiritual director, how do we live this life following Christ? Patricia is a widow of 20 years with three adult children, nine grandchildren. A stay-at-home mother during her younger years, her professional life started almost at retirement age. She lives in Matthews, North Carolina. Patricia Said Adams, author of Called to Help the Poor and Needy, is our guest on This Week in America. Patricia, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This is such an important book, and let's talk about the inspiration. Why did you decide to write the book, Called to Help the Poor and Needy?
Well, as with all my books, I've felt called to do them. And this one started out as a video. And, I didn't know anything about the verses in the Bible about, you know, called to help the poor and needy. But I was intrigued. But the more I looked into it, the more I felt like a video is not going to work, not a 20-minute video. So, and then I heard Rick Warren had said that, how did he, a pastor for all these years, not know that there were 2,000 verses in the Bible about helping the poor and needy? And I thought, yes, how do we not know that this is a major theme in the Bible?
And you bring it home, and there's so many that probably are going, wow, that many? If Rick Warren doesn't know it, chances are a lot of other people don't know it as well. So this is really a void that you filled with this book, isn't it?
Well, I think so. When you look at the world, and today in America, most people think that the poor are just lazy.
Yes.
And don't want to work, and wouldn't work if they had a better job. And that's a real judgment on them. And I think, Mother Teresa once said that the worst kind of poverty is to not be valued. And I think that has to do with a lot to do with how we treat the poor and needy. They are not valued in this country as if they're not contributing anything. I think it's a wake-up call.
Well, it is, and you've set the alarm for all of us here by writing this book, Called to Help the Poor and Needy. Patricia Said Adams is our guest and the author. Her website is patsaidadams.com. Book available, of course, at Amazon, all of the usual places. What do you hope to inspire in the reader after they've read a copy of Called to Help the Poor and Needy? What's the call to action here? And there certainly is one, isn't there?
Well, yes, but I wouldn't begin to describe what each person should do. And I think that's up to them. How can I help the poor and needy? That would be the question. And I think if enough people actually asked that question of themselves and waited for the answer, things would change.
Yeah, it's interesting. It all is individual, isn't it? We all have to ask ourselves this question, and you give us such a background there in the book. And information on this and in Patricia's other books at her website, patsaidadams.com. What problems in our country do you see related to the topic of the book of helping the poor and needy?
Well, housing.
Yes.
Salaries, the way we pay our workers, the medical care that's not so available to people who don't have money. I think those are the major issues. you know, our CEO salaries have gone up nearly 700% since 1970, and the average worker's pay has gone up 11%. And I think that says a lot about where the money is going these days. It's going to the rich, to the CEOs, to the corporations. And what about the workers? You know, we talked a lot about essential workers in the COVID epidemic. And those are exactly who we're talking about. You know, the people who pave our roads, the people who, the nurses who
yes.
take care of all patients, the, you know, the people who work in restaurants, the, you know, those are the people who are essential workers that we all depend on.
It's interesting. You mentioned the amount of money that the top executives are making. And when business goes bad, they cut back salaries, they cut back hours, and they cut back personnel. It's incredible. It's at the bottom end. Most of the money is going to the top. It's at the bottom end where they cut back. And these people, I don't know where they look for shelter, for food, transportation.
Exactly. Now, I just read about Houston's struggles with the homeless, and they housed 25,000 people last year who are homeless in apartments, not in, you know, kind of charity things,
yes.
but apartments. And they have reduced their homelessness by, I think it was 60%, which is amazing.
It's yes, it is. It's a totally remarkable number, and shows, I guess, if you really focus on a problem and the results that you can have. The book is Call to Help the Poor and Needy by Patricia Said Adams, our guest on the program. Book is available wherever books are sold. Send you to Amazon, of course, all the other places. Her website is patsaidadams.com. What is the most important thing for us to do about this problem? What out there can we do? We sort of hear, and it sounds like such an immense problem, and what can I do in my community? What do you hope that we're able to do?
Well, I'm hoping that people will connect with people who are poor and needy and hear their stories and figure out how they got to be where they are and what they would dream of in their lives. That's a way of valuing them and learning from them what's needed in their lives, and then seeing what we can do that, to help them accomplish what they want to accomplish.
One of
the stories in the book is about Mauricio Miller's mother, and he's a MacArthur winner. He's a sociologist and has helped a lot of people who are on the poor and needy side. And his mom supported two kids with two jobs. But she used to come home occasionally and talk about some dress she'd seen in the store window and all that she would do for it. But she never had the money or the time to pursue that interest.
It's amazing. The book will move you on so many levels, Call to Help the Poor and Needy. I was going to ask the first step to take, but I think that you said that. What basically, communication, looking around, maybe starting a dialogue and finding out for different individuals what the cause is of their homelessness.
Yeah. Yeah. How did they get there? And, you know, what in their story, like, I've read Father Boyle's books about his charity, the Homeboys and Homegirls Industry in East Los Angeles. And he's recruited a lot of gang members to work in this industry that he's created. And, you know, 4 or 5 years into it, they're all of a sudden very proud that they're supporting their families, they're making money, they're looking at buying a house. They're back on track in their lives. But when he tells the stories of their backgrounds, there's nothing but trauma, indifference, alcoholism in their parents and families. And you think, oh my God, there's a reason why these people are in gangs. There's a reason why people are poor. And it's often out of their control until someone like Father Boyle comes along and offers love and a way out. And I think we have to look at that more and more.
Do you find we're quick sometimes just to sort of stereotype? We see gangs, we see homelessness, and we think we know the reasons, and the reasons that you gave. We think, okay, they're lazy. If we gave them a job, they don't want a job. They're just looking for a handout. Are we too quick to stereotype?
Well, I think we are. It's easy to judge them.
Yes.
Then we don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can
and
sort
it's
of,
sad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... We're talking about maybe 20% of our country. That many people in the richest country in the world are living in poverty. And I think we have to look at that.
Well, it's the book will, it's a real eye-opener by our guest, Patricia Said Adams, Call to Help the Poor and Needy. Her website is patsaidadams.com, and all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about the audience that you're writing this book for. Who is this designed for?
Well, it's really designed for Christians. You know, the first chapter is all about the verses in the Bible, samples of them that talk about helping the poor and needy. And that's the audience I hope to reach.
Was it surprising when you did the research for this, how many times this problem is addressed in the Bible? We mentioned before how many, you know, several thousand. What was this like for you as you were doing the research? Was it an eye-opener for you as you were working on the book?
Oh, yeah. I had no idea that this was a prominent theme in the Bible. And but the more I read in almost every different book in the Bible, the more I realized that, you know, what Jesus was doing was helping the poor and needy. You know, Jesus was always helping the poor, the disabled, the demon-possessed. That's who he hung out with all the time. And he was always asking, well, what do you want? And that really just struck me as, you know, Jesus being God, you know, probably knew what they wanted and knew what would help them. But he was always asking them anyway.
How does this basic approach to problems, the way we address this here in the United States, help or hurt? And what are some fixes, do you think?
Well, I don't think we like to really address problems. We want them to go away.
Yes.
And so we do the least amount that we can do and hope that they'll just not bother us again with this problem. That's my sense of it. And so, you know, we've had poor people all along, and we've done some things, you know, like there's Medicare and Medicaid, and but we're not changing lives. We're not giving a hand out to help somebody up into where they could be.
When we talk about poor and needy, how do you define poor and needy? Because it probably differs from one person to the next. Someone is poor, and if they don't appear to be poor, we don't put them in that category.
Well, there's the homeless. That's one category. There's people who make so little that they can barely feed themselves and their families. There's people who need a hand up for a number of reasons. Maybe they're disabled, or maybe they have mental problems, or, you know, something else. And there's, you know, the immigrants, there's, you know, who start out in this country from the bottom trying to make their way up. I know I lived in California for a long time, and it was the farm workers were all Latinos. and they work their tails off in the heat. And, you know, producing the crops that were so essential for our country. And yet they were paid very little. And, you know, there was Cesar Chavez out there arguing for better pay and stuff, but they weren't really listened to.
No.
And their needs weren't really important to the rest of us.
How did you become a blogger and an author? How did this start for you? I know in your background that you went through asking a lot of questions, and it took you a while to find exactly where you wanted to be in terms of working with the church. And then you became this writer and helping so many people, the blogger. How did this evolve to the point of, and the spiritual director that you are as well? How did you get to this point? What was this process like for you?
Well, I want to tell you that I never in my life thought I'd be a writer. So this is all this is all something that's come to me. I did want to be a spiritual director. I didn't know that until I heard they were training spiritual directors, lay people, and because I'd read about spiritual direction in the Catholic Church particularly. And but after my husband died, I felt like the Lord was leading me on a long journey of dealing, you know, grieving. And I went to Haiti twice, once for a month, working with little children, babies who were sick. And I spent the morning with each of these babies, and it just broke my heart. I knew they would never have what I thought was essential for a good life. I mean, we were in Haiti after all, but that was the first crack in the kind of armor that I had to keep out the suffering in the world. And then I went to Mexico a couple of times, and, you know, the Mexicans are very celebratory people. And I was in Oaxaca for a month studying Spanish, and every night, especially on the weekends, but almost every night, they had free concerts, music, plays for everybody at that time. And it was phenomenal. And then I worked for Crisis Assistance Ministry in Charlotte, and interviewing people who had come for help with their problems. Rent for one person was $500 at the time. And individuals or couples would come in needing help with a bill, a medical bill, a rent, or a number of things. And most of the time, we had $150 to help them with. When we had FEMA funds, we had $1,000. And but when we only had $150 to give people to help them, which was very little help, it was I mean, it was just awful to have to give those news, that news to the people. Yeah, I mean, it was just terrible. And then I've read a lot of books about racism, and written by Black people, and also by white people on white racism and what it's meant in this country and how denigrating it's been. And, you know, just all this stuff just kind of eats away at your images of who's out there, who's living and have and struggling. And you just, you lose your sense of the whiteness and the privilege. And you become just one of the people, one of 7 billion people made by God in his image. And so everyone's needs are important. And that is transforming. Well, in the meantime, I did start to study Spanish in 2003, I think. And I was working with a tutor, and after a year, she had me writing paragraphs in Spanish. And at first I wrote about my family and all different kinds of things in my life. But pretty soon, all I'm interested in is writing about the spiritual life. I've been a spiritual director for 4 or 5 years, and it has changed how I look at everything. And as I moved to Charlotte in 2008, I was posting the first issue of a bilingual blog and on the spiritual life on Facebook. Wow. And 9 months later, my tutor fell and couldn't help me anymore, and I dropped the Spanish. And since then, especially since 2011, I have published every week without fail a blog post about the spiritual life. And then, you know, a few years later, suddenly the idea for Thy Kingdom Come, and then the Exodus book, and then these last two books, called To Help the Poor and Needy, and then the journaling guide to the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And it's been the most fulfilling stuff I've ever done. I mean, well, I love being a mother. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
That was totally fulfilling for me. But this has just given me a purpose beyond all that. And it's just been an amazing journey.
Do you feel sometimes like it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you? I mean, what you've done, if years ago someone would have said, Patricia, this is how your life is going to go, and you probably would have said, no, I can't imagine that happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just amazing how things happen.
Yeah, I do think it's the Holy Spirit leading me the whole way. And I just can't even begin to tell you how wonderful a journey it's been and how meaningful to be able to do this writing that I never even conceived of. So,
and it sounds like as you're writing and giving this message, presenting this message to us, which is a learning process for us, certainly reading Call to Help the Poor and Needy is in that category of learning something new and what we need to do and can do about it. I get the impression you're like the rest of us. You'll learn something as you're writing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Because you have to do a lot of research.
Yes.
To write anything. And then the research changes you. You're taking in all this stuff, like taking in all the stuff, the 2,000 verses in the Bible about called to help the poor and needy. Well, you don't stay the same. And I don't think we're meant to think the same
yes.
way all our
yes.
lives or do the same things all our lives. I think we're meant to grow and change and open up our hearts and minds to other possibilities than what we were taught and what our culture offers us.
With us on the program, and boy, the time has gone by quickly, Patricia Said Adams. The book is Called to Help the Poor and Needy. This is her newest. The book is available Amazon, the usual places, wherever books are sold. You can go to Patricia's website, patsaidadams.com, and information on this book and all of the books that Pat has written. A minute or so left here in the program. What are you working on now? I'm sure you've got another project, a book that you're ready to publish.
Well, I'm working on, this is the working title, Is This the America We Want? Mm. And I'm looking at all different kinds of issues. I felt in 2019, in December, that our country was on a precipice and that we could go over the edge very easily. In the 1980s, I was leading a Sunday school class. And we were reading about the Roman Empire and Christianity, which became a part of the empire. And I read that the Roman Empire was destroyed because of materialism, as they brought back all this loot from the countries or the territories they conquered. The Senate was corrupted, and that really stuck with me. And so since the 80s, when we started building big houses and the CEO salaries started to go up, I've really been watching this materialism. And I think the thing about it is that it doesn't bring any kind of satisfaction or fulfillment. But it does seem to be the major thing that's going on. And what if we're just like the Roman Empire, that it's going to destroy us?
Well, it's a fascinating thought and topic, and one that really needs to be addressed. And it's like, it seems like the more we think we want, we get it, and then we want something greater than that. We're never quite satisfied. If I just had this, my life would be complete, and you get that. But if I had this also, it'd be even completer than it was before. And it's just sort of a vicious cycle. I wish you the best with that. And hopefully we can have a chance to talk about that as well. And you can keep track of Patricia's books by going to her website, very simply, patsaidadams.com. Said, S-A-I-D, Adams, A-D-A-M-S.com. And the book available, this book, wherever books are sold, send you to Amazon, and all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Patricia, a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can continue this conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Well, thank you so much for the time and your attention. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And once again, Patricia Said Adams, this book, Call to Help the Poor and Needy. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.